Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so I actually watched, well, I guess I could say it was the full interview that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz did with CNN, with Dana Bash yesterday. But I don't know what is missing. Why did they post three different clips? What did they leave on the editing floor? That was a question. I was listening a little bit to the Fox and Friends coverage earlier this morning, and one of their hosts, she had made the point that that instead of posting the entire unedited video of the interview, that basically what we're seeing are these at least three segments. That's all I saw on CNN's YouTube earlier this morning. And so I watched all three, and I don't know, initial thoughts. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it all, if you're just seeing and hearing some of the clips that are out there, but it was awkward and uncomfortable. Just the feeling with Dana Bash. I thought Dana Bash brought up some good topics. She raised some good questions, but it was like, it was like she was straining to ask these questions. It's like Dana Bash was like, I really don't want to ask these questions, but I'm going to have to ask some of these questions. And Kamala Harris was awkward and uncomfortable. Tim Walz was just sitting there kind of awkwardly almost the entire time until his whole Stolen Valor thing got brought up. He looked like he was going to cry while he was just sitting there. And then what is the first question that any major candidate should be ready for? It's the day one question, right? That's always, you know, something you would expect for the first question, whether you're doing a debate or a big sit-down interview. Her response on the, what are you going to do day one when you take office? Well, first off, she's already in office as the Vice President of the United States right now. So when she's talking about how bad inflation is, when she's talking about how bad energy prices are, all of these things, she's responsible for that because, you know, she's been supporting all of Joe Biden's policies. It's not like she came out here after she was installed as the Democrat presidential candidate and said, Joe did this and Joe did that, but I'm going to take a different approach. No, she is basically cheerleading Bidenomics and cheerleading all of his policies. But her day one, what are you going to do on day one, was just a brutal response. Maybe I'll play that for you here coming up after the first break. The fracking question. She basically said, oh, no. Back in 2020, I said I wasn't going to ban fracking. It's like, we can roll the tape. You were on camera in 2020 saying that you want to ban fracking. So she just kind of dodged that question over and over again. She minimalized her role. So did CNN, by the way. They minimized her role on the border. She was named the border czar. CNN even described her as the border czar. And yet they were downplaying this. Well, I was just responsible for the, you know, some of these countries and some of the role that might have on migration. No, even CNN anchors described you as the border czar. Joe Biden puts you in charge of the border, and look at the 10 to 15 million illegal aliens that have flooded into this country. That was just some initial reactions. You know, Walz didn't even answer the Stolen Valor question, her running mate Tim Walz. And Kamala just looked, her face was strained the entire time, if you ask me. We are in Livingston. We are broadcasting live from Yellowstone Sporting Goods here in Livingston. We've got microphones open for the full morning. Had a great time at the Lincoln Reagan last night. Back after this.
Securing America.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan finished a series of meetings with Chinese officials Thursday, including a session with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Sullivan admits China remains America's biggest challenge, but
we believe that competition with China does not have to lead to conflict or confrontation.
However, he did touch on issues of concern that were discussed, including cyber attacks.
The United States will continue to take necessary action to prevent advanced U.S. technologies from being used to undermine our national security.
The military is another area of conflict.
We remain deeply concerned about China's support for Russia's defense industrial base and its impact on both European and transatlantic security.
But the good news is that American and Chinese military leaders will soon be talking to each other again.
There will be a call between the theater commanders, the Indo-PACOM commander and the Southern theater commander for the PLA.
Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, high temperature readings will stay from the mid-80s in Bozeman to around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear and quiet. Down in the low to mid-50s, and then the outlook for the weekend does call for more mild weather conditions. High temperatures on Saturday in the upper 80s to around 90 across the region. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is a huge story that is now getting national attention, but we broke it first at MontanaTalks.com. It's a report by a student athlete and a student journalist at the University of Montana in Missoula. A dark money group supporting John Tester was offering up paid political endorsements to student athletes, but some of these women rejecting the endorsement deal because Tester voted to allow men in women's sports. That story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Tim Murtaugh from the Trump campaign or what who said it, but they said you got to go watch even CNN's own fact check following the little interview with Dana Bash. I think it was only like 18 minutes total. And Tim Walz had like two questions, so he was just kind of awkwardly sitting there the whole time. And yeah, it was just awkward and uncomfortable watching that whole thing. I don't know if it was just too early in the morning as I was watching it, or you guys thought the same thing as you were watching it last night. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got reactions. But yeah, let me just play a little portion of this here. The Trump War Room has great coverage of not only some of the interview highlights, but also great coverage, you know, across the board. But anyway, let me see if I've got everything queued up here on my remote system as we're broadcasting live from Livingston this morning. This is CNN fact-checking Kamala Harris's claim that she, quote, made it clear on the debate stage in 2020 that she opposed banning fracking. The Trump War Room says, it's almost comical how blatantly she lies. Oh, hold on. Now all of a sudden this thing isn't playing on here. Let me see.
The fact check bottom line, Abby, is that she did not actually make clear at a 2020 debate that she had changed her previous support for a fracking ban. So let me take you through this kind of saga. So here's what she said at a CNN climate town hall in 2019 on the subject of a fracking ban.
Will you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking your first day in office, adding the United States to the list of countries who have banned this devastating practice?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah.
That was quite clear. So she ended her 2020 presidential run in December 2019. The only debate she participated in 2020 was the general election debate with then Vice President Mike Pence.
Anyway, so CNN, I can only play a quick portion of that for you here without permission to air the full audio, but go to x.com/Aaron Flint. You can see that one. So even CNN's own fact checkers are like, look, Kamala is saying that she made it clear in 2020 that she opposed banning fracking, but you just heard them roll the very tape that we've rolled for you before, where she says she wants to ban fracking. And that's when she was one of, you know, what, 20 Democrat presidential candidates. You remember the lockdown governor, former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, was another one of those presidential candidates at the time. Let me go back to now show you what she said last night in this interview. I got to get to the full thread here. This is the full thread from the Trump War Room. After 39 days of silence, Kamala Harris and her safety blanket, Timothy Walz, finally sat down with CNN. And it was so bad, her handlers will never let her do another interview again. Here's what you missed. Kamala confirmed she's still a radical left lunatic who believes in mass amnesty, ending cash bail, banning fracking, abolishing private health insurance, banning gas-powered vehicles, and much more. Let's start there. She said her values have not changed. Really? So when you were funding the very groups that were bailing out the rioters that were burning Minneapolis, you don't want to apologize for that or disavow that. She's saying that her values haven't changed. Okay, so, but yet then on the other hand, she's trying to say that she is not flip-flopping on fracking?
Generally speaking, how should voters look at some of the changes that you've made, that you've explained some of here? In your policy, is it because you have more experience now and you've learned more about the information? Is it because you were running for president in a Democratic primary? And should they feel comfortable and confident that what you're saying now is going to be your policy moving forward?
Dana, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed. You mentioned the Green New Deal. I have always believed, and I have worked on it, that the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. We did that with the Inflation Reduction Act. We have set goals for the United States of America and, by extension, the globe around when we should meet certain standards for reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, as an example. That value has not changed. Generally, you said
so basically, she's still all in on the climate alarmist agenda that will shut down oil, gas, coal, and agriculture here in America. And yet you wonder why your energy prices are so high. And energy prices are part of what is driving up this massive inflation. And the reason groceries and everything else cost so much right now is because energy prices drive the shipping of goods. They drive the creation of goods. They drive the manufacturing of goods. They drive the farming of food products as well. And when those input costs are astronomical, of course, everything else is going to go up. But the other point, I think Lawrence Jones made this here, is that, Kamala Harris is still openly admitting that the prices are bad, the price for groceries, that inflation is crazy. But on the other hand, she's trying to somehow say that Bidenomics is working. And I think it was the point that Lawrence Jones made earlier this morning. She is the one who was the tie-breaking vote for ARPA. ARPA, you remember, Dr. Pat Barkey with the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research on these radio stations, you heard him share the numbers. When inflation really skyrocketed and started spiking, it was after that party line vote, the so-called American Rescue Plan, that bankrupted us with all this debt and inflation. The reason Kamala Harris was the tie-breaking vote is because John Tester, the liberal senator of Montana, was the 50th vote who voted for the inflation-causing spending.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the development of an H5N1 virus vaccine for dairy cattle continues to make progress. In fact, this week, during the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack provided an update on vaccine development for the prevention of avian flu in cattle.
We have a number of companies that have been working on vaccine, and one company has now presented sufficient information to the USDA to allow me to authorize, which I did this week, the first field trial of a vaccine for cattle, H5N1, for safety purposes, which hopefully we'll be able to develop in the near term with the information that we'll get from this field trial. That will allow us to determine whether we can go to the next level, next set of steps necessary to ensure safe and effective use of the vaccine.
Now, the USDA Center of Veterinary Biologics, located in Ames, Iowa, will oversee this vaccine field trial. Keep in mind, to date, bird flu in dairy cattle has been confirmed in 13 states, including Colorado, Idaho, Michigan, Texas, Iowa, Minnesota, New Mexico, South Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma, North Carolina, Ohio, and Wyoming. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
With harvest time and the peak of summer heat upon us, Montana DNRC reminds farmers and ranchers to be prepared to do your part to prevent equipment-caused wildfires. Practice fire mitigation by regularly cleaning dry materials like straw and chaff from equipment. Avoid parking in or near dry, flashy fuel sources. always keep a water source, fire extinguisher, and shovel with you, and stay on top of fire restrictions by visiting mtfireinfo.org. Montana DNRC wishes everyone a safe and successful harvest season.
Attention, pulse and oilseed crop producers. Applying Sonalin 10G this fall can be an excellent option for control of broadleaf and grassy weeds in next year's crops. A fall application of Sonalin 10G allows great flexibility of planting options for lentils and garbanzo beans to label oiled seed crops, including camelina. Rotating to a Group 3 herbicide allows for extended residual weed control, including glyphosate, sulfonylurea resistant biotypes. Contact your local distributor to schedule your fall application of Sonalin 10G.
Always read and follow label directions.
From Gowan Company.
Well, in what can only be described as a nightmare, Butler & Son Rodeo Company in Elk City, Oklahoma, has lost over 70 horses, and they say that number may keep growing. Well, there's still an active investigation underway. It's believed that feed-containing Monensin was fed to the herd of horses. How that happened is still in question, but without a doubt, a terrible mistake. Monensin, also more well-known in the industry as Rumensin, is a feed ingredient that's added on a regular basis to feed for cattle, sheep, goats, and poultry. It's a cost-effective tool for these species that improves feed efficiency, but it's deadly to horses. And as the investigation continues, we'll be sure to pass along updates along the way. In the meantime, though, what a terrible tragedy. And finally this morning, the USDA is forecasting the agricultural trade deficit to increase sharply to a record $42.5 billion in the coming fiscal year. That compares to $30.5 billion this fiscal year, which ends September 30th. The widening trade gap, a source of frustration for many farmers, ranchers, and ag state lawmakers, reflects an expected $8 billion increase in ag imports. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, Travis, looks like my message didn't go through to you there. But, hey, you know what? Let's just roll it right now. Travis, give me the thumbs up on Teams if you want. Do you want to just roll the Montana Family Foundation update right now? And then that'll free up more time later in the hour if we get some guests that that pop into Yellowstone Sporting Goods here and join us. All right. Yeah, let's roll that right now. Normally we play the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation every Friday after our 6:50 break. But we never know who's going to show up and when people are going to show up to join us for our live show as we're broadcasting live from Livingston at Yellowstone Sporting Goods. So let's roll it now. Always great content. And then we can free up some time in case folks pop in to join us before Freedom Friday with George Blackard in the 7 o'clock hour. Here we go. Here's the legislative update.
As millions of illegal immigrants continue to pour across our southern border, benefits and services for illegals are taxing state and local budgets. 3 weeks ago, Montana joined 14 other states in an attempt to block the Biden administration's proposed rule that would allow migrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children to enroll in the federally subsidized Obamacare program. And that's just the start. Illegal immigrants are given access to free food, housing, medical care, cell phones, public education, and in a recent discovery, are even being allowed to register to vote. All in the name of tolerance and compassion. What began as an economic burden is now morphing into a very real threat to our society itself. America has always welcomed immigrants who came to the U.S. legally, were vetted, applied for citizenship, and could prove that they would benefit and not burden our nation. They were taught our history, our values, our laws, and what it meant to be an American. When my family immigrated with millions of others through Ellis Island, they saw American citizenship as a gift to be cherished. My parents can remember my grandparents saying, "We're Americans now. America took us in when no one else would." The kids were not allowed to speak Hungarian. That was the language of the old country. They saw English as the key to success, and everyone worked hard to learn the new language. They held on to traditions, many of which we still celebrate today, but in a very real sense, they were no longer Hungarians, but Americans, and my grandparents would proudly tell you that. The goal of both the government and the immigrants was assimilation. Contrast that with the chaos of an uncontrolled invasion where people simply walk across the border unchecked, undocumented, and unvetted. Some will make outstanding citizens, others frankly will not. The problem is, we have no way to tell who's who. According to the FBI, mixed in with families seeking a better life are criminals, gang members, drug dealers, and terrorist cells. People not necessarily seeking to assimilate into our culture, but simply looking to set up criminal enterprises and, in extreme cases, to do us harm. Some countries emptied out their prisons and sent the criminals north. As we speak, the city of Aurora, Colorado, is closing down a huge apartment complex because it was taken over by a violent gang of Venezuelan migrants known as Tren de Aragua. Hundreds of families were forced out onto the streets because the gang is so violent that the place is...
Michigan campaigns in Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. today. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, let's see, Travis. Yeah, my team's messages must not be going through to you there, but yeah, how much time left do we got on the legislative update there from Jeff Lasloff? I know he just wrapped up there with some great info about Aurora, Colorado, in particular, that Venezuelan illegal alien gang, Tren de Aragua. Yeah, we talked a little bit about that through yesterday. Okay, we got about 90 seconds left of it. He just wrapped up talking about Tren de Aragua and what these illegal alien gangs are doing down, you know, a day trip away from us down in Colorado. Entire apartment complexes basically being gang territory, illegal alien gang territory, according to an Aurora City Council member. And Aurora is basically like a southern suburb of Denver, for those of you who aren't familiar with Denver and Colorado. All right, here we go back to Jeff Lasloff here at the Montana Family Foundation.
Hundreds of families were forced out onto the streets because the gang is so violent that the place is no longer safe. And this is just one example of thousands across the U.S. New York City itself has spent over $5 billion in taxpayer money providing free food and housing for illegal immigrants. If you want to see how this ultimately plays out, look no further than France, England, Italy, and the Scandinavian countries. Illegal Muslim immigrants from North Africa and the Middle East are quickly reshaping those countries in their image, taking over the streets of London and Paris and blocking traffic while they bow in prayer on Fridays. Major segments of entire cities are now no-go areas for police in Sweden and the Netherlands because they're now effectively Muslim communities under Sharia law. Mosques in Minneapolis, Minnesota now broadcast the call to prayer over loudspeakers, and Dearborn, Michigan's local government is now Muslim-controlled. John Adams once said that our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Controlled immigration ensures that the right people are coming to the United States for the right reasons. As we've done historically, we should allow in only those people who want to obey our laws, promote our values, respect our Constitution, and make America a better place to raise our children and grandchildren. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Lasloff reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Lasloff for that update. Let's see here. Let me give you one more Fox update, Fox News update, in addition to the one that we just heard there just a few minutes ago in our normal 6:30 Fox News update. So that big story that we broke earlier this week with that University of Montana student athlete, Fox News picked up the story yesterday. I heard she may even be on Fox News maybe later tonight. The New York Post picked up the story. The UK Daily Mail, even the international publications are picking up the story. So where is the Montana media? Why are they ignoring this big story? I think we all know the answer, right? They're covering for John Tester.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Sprague. In typical fashion, this week's end of August snow is largely gone in the high spot of going to the Sun Road in Glacier National Park, with a popular road reopening yesterday through the Alpine section. However, the high peaks and trails still have some remnants of the storm, and rangers still have the popular Hidden Lake Trail and the Highland Trail from Logan Pass to Granite Park closed because of snow, sludge, and ice. The park is also encouraging park visitors to be ready for changing weather conditions as we move into the fall season. Meanwhile, in Yellowstone, the cooler weather and river temperatures prompting the park to lift fishing restrictions on the Madison and Gibbon Rivers just in time for one of the best times of the year to fish. The Firehole River, which traditionally has warmer water because of geothermal activity, will continue with partial restrictions to protect fish stocks. Senator John Tester is pressing the Biden administration to immediately free up funds to help farmers and ranchers recover from the devastating Remington fire on the Montana-Wyoming border. In a letter to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, Tester said, while the total livestock losses aren't known, the USDA should move immediately to help ranchers and farmers who, he says, are at significant risk of losing their operations because of the financial setback. Last week it was the Cats. Now it's Montana's chance to shine with the Grizzlies' home opener set for Saturday, and that means adjusting to parking rules and also understanding the security rules for the stadium. Ace Sauerwein has the preview.
Football is back in Missoula. The third-ranked Montana Grizzlies start their new campaign Saturday night against Missouri State out of the Missouri Valley Conference. This will be the first ever meeting between the Grizzlies and Bears, and more likely than not, the last ever meeting as Missouri State makes the jump to FBS next season. Kickoff is slated for 7 o'clock. Pregame goes live at 5 o'clock across the Grizzly Radio Network. In Missoula, Ace Sauerwein for the Montana State News Network.
In western Montana, KGVO remains the flagship station for the Grizzlies' statewide network for another year.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you are thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is great. So, you know, when we take the show on the road, it's a little hard to take your phone calls because I get feedback and it just can be awkward. But if anybody wants to come down and join us on the microphone, we're going to have the microphones open. I know our friend George Blackard will be here for Freedom Friday. Well, he'll be in the studio holding down the fort back there. And then, but if you want to come down and join us, we're going to have microphones open all the way through 10 a.m. later this morning. I know we saw a ton of folks at Riverside Hardware yesterday afternoon. Got to meet a ton of great folks in downtown Livingston. And then I was the MC for the Park County Lincoln Reagan dinner last night and told everybody we were going to be here. So we may get some folks that'll pop in who were there last night, some of the candidates as well. But really, microphones are open. Or if you just want to pop down and say hello, we just got to meet Nathan from here in Livingston. He's driving to work in Belgrade this morning. He said, hey, I just wanted to pop in to say hi. I listen to the show every day. Love what you guys do. So, Nathan, so good to meet you, and safe travels. Thanks for doing what you do. Nancy in Roundup sent us an email with her reaction. It was the CNN interview reaction. She says this: Kamala Harris proved that she is indeed an insipid stoop. A rating was taken, and some commentators gave her a 4, some a 5. I give her a 0 for debate answers. She said she was aware of the border problem as Venezuelan gangs take over apartment buildings in Denver, Colorado, in an attempt to kidnap elementary school children on buses in California. I am not asking Kamala Harris to withdraw from the presidential race. I am telling her as an American to withdraw. She is not capable nor has the ability to be president of the United States. Let's see. Forrest. I got a note from Forrest. Hey, Forrest. Shoot, wish I wasn't working today. I'd come have a cup of coffee and shoot the Adam Schiff. Not shoot Adam Schiff, but shoot the, well, you know what the word, it's Montana. You guys know what he's saying here. Anyway, hey, well, come on down. We got some coffee ready. We got some operator coffee that they made for you here at Yellowstone Sporting Goods here in Livingston. I think I got a message on the app. I'll check here in a second as well. But, hey, let's meet the incredible owner here of Yellowstone Sporting Goods, Erica Stone. Thanks so much for hosting us. Great to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you grew up in the Flathead Valley of Montana.
I did.
Now here just north of the Paradise Valley.
Yes, and I live in the Paradise Valley.
You do? Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you which valley's better.
That'd be a toss-up.
It'd be a toss-up, yeah. Both incredible spots to be. You know what I love about the Paradise Valley is the farm and the ranch land.
Pretty amazing.
That's my favorite part of it. And, got some of the O'Hare family members were there last night. And Alan Redfield was there last night. He's termed out of the legislature. But, you know, and Marty Malone was there last night. And so that's just, that agriculture is the heart of that valley. I mean, of course, you got these majestic mountains.
Definitely.
These majestic peaks. But man, there's something about that valley.
Yes. The view is never the same on the drive home.
Yeah. Now, usually, I felt bad getting here at, 5:30 this morning to get all my gear set up, but you guys are usually up and running pretty early, running folks to and from the river this morning, huh?
Yes, we are. Not the people, just the vehicles.
Just the vehicles, yeah. How do you describe Yellowstone Sporting Goods here? I mean, I look around, it's like, all right, you got guns, you got cool sunglasses. It looks like you got a really good deal going on, like ski pants. And
I say hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, clothing, footwear. Guns, ammo, and an archery pro shop.
Everything in everything Montana, all
a little bit
shop.
Of everything.
Yeah. Yes. What a cool place. And you started right before all the COVID-19 craziness happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we bought it in April of 2019. I had already worked here through two different owners.
Wow. So you worked here and then ended up becoming the owner.
Yes.
What a cool success story.
Yes.
and then talk about what a saga it's kind of been since you took over right before the pandemic.
Yes. So February of 2020, COVID happened. Against all the opposition, we kept our doors open to provide necessities to our community and to help our friends and our neighbors and to keep our employees working. None of our employees had to find other work and none of them collected unemployment.
Really? Wow.
So
they kept working, kept serving people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have obviously survival gear around here.
Yes.
Our Second Amendment rights. Are you going to strip people of the opportunity to be able to buy guns just because it's, it was COVID-19? No, right. You kept serving the people.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we were just starting to recover when the flood of 2022 happened. And then we jumped in to help the community, moving people, providing and donating rubber boots, waders. We lost a full storage unit worth of inventory that was not covered by insurance because it was not on premise. So we had to deal with that as well. But we are determined to continue to provide this area with those sporting good needs and give back to the community that we all love and enjoy.
So you're not only kind of running the store as the owner and, helping out, which means a little bit of everything, but then you're running vehicles back and forth for people that are either fishing or just floating.
Yes, we have a shuttle business as well. That's separate from here, but yeah, definitely trying to wear a lot of heads.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the floods, why was that such a big impact on you in particular? I mean, obviously you lost some inventory, but then, I'm assuming a lot of that was that tourism economy that you got
here
in the summertime.
Yes, we were planning for that. In this industry, you're always buying a season ahead. So we had bought accordingly. So then when that traffic didn't happen, it had a huge impact on us.
Yeah. Some people think like these business owners are, they're just all rich and they got it so easy.
Right.
They don't realize how much work goes into being a small business owner.
Right. And I can honestly say that it's been a little bit of a change for me because I always was the on the floor person. I was always the face of the business, the person down here. I love the customers. I miss my customers. But I'm always doing stuff up here that requires so much attention and time. So when I do get to be down here with my customers, I love it.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm hoping
that's
some come
the fun
today.
Part of the job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of them, they were asking me last night, when's the best time to come down? I said, well, you could come down as early as 6 a.m. And I know Brian Wells was thinking about popping in, but he's got meetings down in Gardner and, further down south here that start pretty soon. But it was good to see him last night. He's got that iconic big beard, of course, and yeah. Well, you got some folks at the front door right now.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'll let you run. But great to see you. You got kids that are now running their own business up in the Flathead.
Yes, I do.
Too.
My children own Flathead Towing, and my future son-in-law owns Canyon View Collision. So those three are quite the team.
They've caught that entrepreneurial bug, huh?
Yes.
One other thing I wanted to highlight, are you okay, if you're okay talking about this on the radio, but there were a lot of us when all this COVID craziness was going on, when they were trying to force businesses to shut down, force people to have to wear these masks and all sorts of stuff. And a lot of us were like, hey, no, you know, we're not putting up with that garbage, right? And we fought back and we pushed back. And we've been all been proven right, basically. And look, and whether we were right or wrong, it's the Constitution. We have freedoms. We have rights here. But and choice. And so, but I understand you stood up for your employees that entire time and you didn't force them to do any of that stuff. So good job.
Thank you.
And business did well, right? Actually,
we're doing well.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on your success and
you're
weathering all the storms, the floods and the lockdowns,
the economy,
everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
The economy.
Inflation.
How is inflation hitting you? Because you've got a little bit of everything in here and the prices, everything have gone up at the national level.
Yeah, exponentially.
So
it's tough.
Some people think, do you get customers that think that you're the reason the prices went up? Oh, okay. They get it.
They absolutely get it.
Yeah.
Because it's not just us. It's everywhere. It's every industry. And it's affecting everyone. No matter which side of the line you're on, it's affecting everyone.
Yeah. When this idea of capping prices for groceries was thrown out, I didn't even realize how small, how tight the margins are.
Margins are
in
a big
grocery
deal.
Industry.
Same here.
Same here for sporting goods and across the board. Yeah. And so okay, how are you going to price cap that?
Exactly.
It's just crazy. Well, thanks for hosting
us.
We're very excited because later today, thanks to Erica Stone for hosting us, but later today, we're doing the show until 10 o'clock this morning. And then separate from the radio show, I'm going to break down all my gear and then we're going to set up another table outside and we're going to have free gift cards to give out to you for our gift card giveaway to help you fight inflation later today around 10:30 with these events paid for by Americans.
My business partner out here, too, for an interview.
Yeah.
Chris Brewer.
Tell Chris to get out here.
I will.
Yeah, no hiding in the back now.
Okay.
Get out on the floor. All right, thank you. Hey, good to see you. Yeah, see, we got some other folks here. If you want to be on the microphone, no, he's just coming down to say hi. That's all right. Yeah, it's funny as I travel the state. You know, you get a lot of people that'll step up to the microphone. You get a lot of great callers that call into this show. But they always told me when I first got into talk radio, they said, you know, you never know how many people are listening, but it's far bigger than you realize. And they said, you know, about 99% of talk radio listeners will never actually talk on the radio with you, whether it's calling in or sometimes even messaging in or joining you on the microphone in person. But they're out there listening. And so that's part of the fun of getting out on the road is you get a chance to meet so many great folks and say hi. And even if they're a little microphone shy or don't want to be on the microphone with you, man, I'll tell you what, during the break, when you say hi, you always get filled with some incredible information. And oftentimes they'll be okay with me sharing that information with you and relaying that information to you. All right. Speaking of breaks, we got a quick break here. We'll get to your Hannity commentary and then I'll be back with you. George Blackard, Freedom Friday, he'll be with us in the 7 o'clock hour. But seriously, if you're listening in the Livingston area right now, come on down. We'll be here till 10 a.m. We've got the microphones open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And conservatism is what? What do we want? We want less government in our lives. Limited government. We want the lowest taxes possible. We want to end the burdensome bureaucracy that is a stranglehold on business. We want secure borders. We want energy independence. We want those high-paying career jobs in the energy sector. We want constitutional justices. People want and deserve cities and towns that are safe and secure. We believe in law and we believe in order. We believe that If our public schools are failing our kids at a spectacular level, our kids deserve better. We want safe schools and we want good schools. It's pretty simple.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, protect your home and family. Now, it's a responsibility you cannot take lightly. But starting with deadly force, that should not be your first option, especially given the serious mental, financial, legal consequences that can very well follow. You might want to look at non-lethal force. That's where Burner comes in. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher designed by a group of common sense gun owners, and it's used for everyday Americans concerned about their personal safety and security. Now, the Burner pistol launcher is equipped with powerful deterrents like tear gas and kinetic rounds. So the Burner launcher can incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes. Now, that's enough time to ensure your family's safety. The Burner launcher is legal in all 50 states. You can ship directly to your door. It's time to join the growing movement. And they always put safety first. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off. Watch their videos, byrna.com/Hannity, 10% off. And make the smart choice for you and your family and your safety today.
FDA, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Tax fees may apply.
Democracy 24.
Burlington, Vermont is being sued after approving a charter change last year allowing non-citizen legal residents to vote in local government and school elections. Two citizens backed by a conservative nonprofit focused on election integrity argue that allowing non-citizens to vote violates the Vermont Constitution and effectively legalizes foreign interference in American elections. Derek Lyons, president of Restoring Integrity and Trust in Elections.
This is actually anti-democratic. This is diluting and taking away the right to vote from American citizens.
Two other Vermont communities, Winooski and Montpelier, also allow non-citizen voting, and several municipalities in Maryland and California, as well as Washington, D.C., have voted to allow the same. Former Burlington City Council member Jackie Hansen argues legal residents deserve a say.
You're living in that community, you're working in that community, you're affected by those decisions.
Molly Lauren, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tulsi Gabbard, great to have you on this show. Sorry for the technical difficulties there for a second, but what's your message to Montana? We'll just jump right into it since we're short on time.
Thank you so much. It's great to join you this morning. We have a very clear choice in your U.S. Senate race, just as we do in the race for president. It really is a choice between a person who stands for freedom, peace, and prosperity for all Americans, versus a person who stands for more government control, less freedom, censorship, and more war. That's really what it comes down to. And the choice in the national race is between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, and the same choice is there between Tim Sheehy and John Tester. I endorsed Donald Trump yesterday in a speech before the National Guard Association with soldiers and airmen from every state and territory across the country there in the audience, specifically because I know the same thing to be true that Tim Sheehy knows, is we know the cost of war, as you do. We have seen the consequences of politicians who put their own self-serving interests and their own power or attempts to look tough ahead of the interests of the American people, our national security, and peace. For anyone who is undecided at this point, it's important to recognize that in this election specifically, the choice is not about are you a Democrat or a Republican, or do you like this person or like that person. There's far much more at stake here. This is a choice between freedom and peace or living in an increasingly tyrannical society and at war.
We are on the brink of World War III. We've seen mass weaponization of government, a mass censorship operation across the country. Zuckerberg admitting to his role in that with Facebook. So this isn't just about right and left anymore. This is really about basic core common American values that are under attack right now.
That's right. And when you look at what happened at the Democratic Convention, which, by the way, John Tester avoided, because even he sees how radical and insane the Democrat Party has become. But John Tester is guilty of the same thing as Kamala Harris. In speech after speech, including Kamala's speech, she says she is for freedom while she is using companies like Facebook and other means, including the national security state, to censor people. She talks about secure borders while she lets millions of illegal immigrants stream across our borders. She talks about defending democracy when she tried in every single possible way to undermine democracy and the rule of law to try to keep President Trump off the ballot. John Tester is guilty of the same thing. They say one thing and they tell us lies to our face, but their actions tell the exact opposite story. And that's going to be the most important thing for us as voters to look at as we head into this election. Early voting starts very soon in many states across the country. Look at actions and record, not the lies that these politicians, these fake politicians, try to sell us.
We've got to take, unfortunately, a hard break here in less than a minute. If you can join us till the end of the hour and you want to stick around through the break, we'd love it. But understand if you got to run as well. I know you are. You're going to be joining President Trump at a rally, I believe it is, in Wisconsin later today. What's crazy to me, and I know we only got 30 seconds here, John Tester has never even said thanks for your service to Tim Sheehy and his wife, who both serve. I've had Democrats that I disagree with, and I can still thank them for their service and honor their service. What's the deal there?
That says a lot about who John Tester is and what he values. I fully support Tim Sheehy in this race and encourage Americans who love our country and peace and freedom to vote for Tim Sheehy.
All right, Travis, I think I'm back with you here. Yeah, I don't know why I temporarily disconnected there for a second, but luckily I had that great Tulsi Gabbard audio to roll for you. Freedom Friday coming up here in just a few minutes with George Blackard, and I got a great guest that I'm going to interview here during the break
as
well.
Save me money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're taking money out from an ATM and it's not a machine run by your bank, you'll probably be paying more than ever before. Bankrate found that out-of-network ATM fees are at the highest levels since it began tracking them back in 1998. The average this year is $4.77. According to Greg McBride, Bankrate's chief financial analyst, when making withdrawals, go to in-network ATMs or get cash back when using a debit card. Also check out if your bank participates in a nationwide ATM network that can be used free of charge. Overdraft fees are also higher this year and topping $27. McBride said it's important to check your balance before making a notable purchase or withdrawal to avoid overdraft or insufficient funds fees. And don't opt into overdraft protection on small dollar ATM and debit card transactions, and link your checking account and savings account so any shortfall is covered by your own funds and not the bank's. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.